On a scary afternoon in New Jersey, a felon, a relationship expert, and a woman with no voice entered a restaurant. And all hell broke loose. We're going to be discussing the season finale of Season 7, The Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show, starting now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Just gonna let the vibe set in. Happy Halloween to everyone listening, watching, enjoying. I'm your host tonight, Jacqueline Larita. And tonight I'm joined by Siggy Flicker.
I got a facelift.
Guys, if you want to check out our fabulous costumes we dressed up for you tonight, it's Megan, by the way. Megan Stecker hosting for you tonight. And I am joined by
Fern Ronay here. You can find me on Twitter at Fern Ronay, R-O-N-A-Y. And when I'm not moonlighting as Siggy Flicker, I'm Fern Ronay.
So tonight we dressed up for you guys. I am Jacqueline. If you're not going to be able to see us, let me describe for you what we look like.
Perfect.
I'm Jacqueline tonight with the Namaste Away From Me shirt on that I made my own today.
So impressive.
But I am also dressed as Jacqueline from the Rage on My Ass episode, in the Rage on My Ass scene. So her iconic scene of the season, maybe.
Right. Hence the bathrobe.
Hence my bath. I'm wearing my bathrobe and my snow boots, as they all were in the scene. I went to great lengths to rewatch some scenes and take some still frames, so I got it dead on.
It's perfect.
And Fern looks amazing. She's got the long sleeve dark shirt.
The red headscarf. My hair, and she had these like pigtails in. My hair in pigtails. And I have, of course, she got the lobster bisque through a straw. So
Furnace right got props. And got so props. Do I. So all the ladies were drinking red wine in these giant glasses in the Rage on My Ass scene.
Yes.
And I have one with me right here.
How convenient.
How convenient. I may have sipped a bit before we started. So if I lose my place, please forgive me. Shout out to See, I'm already losing myself here. Shout out to Grant and Annabelle, who couldn't make it with us here tonight. So Grant lives in WeHo, which is short for West Hollywood, which if you don't live in LA, it's the entire town is this extreme, bonanza,
yes.
Halloween town. They shut down the streets. So if he were to come here, he wouldn't be able to get back home.
Right.
So he actually had to leave work early to get home.
That's how
in
crazy.
Time. That's how crazy it is. But it's gonna be. He's gonna enjoy himself tonight. So hi, have a great time.
Hi, Kian.
And Annabelle, this is a bigger holiday to her than Christmas.
This is her high holy day.
This is it. So she's been celebrating since October 1st, and the celebrating continues tonight. Mm-hmm. So guys, have a great time.
She had a gorgeous mermaid costume. She gets her costumes handmade every year.
Yes.
Check out her Instagram. She looks gorgeous.
Yes. And then you can check out me and Fern's Instagram and Twitter and Snapchats for great pictures of our costumes we will take at the end of the show.
Certainly.
But getting into it, the season finale.
Yeah, so finally.
A little action at the end. But let's start at the beginning. Honestly, the opening 60-second montage of the whole season is really all you needed to ever see to know what went on this season.
Exactly. That was pretty... The whole season could have been 60 seconds.
It really could have, because I feel like we watched a season of cutting room floor footage.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
But it was a good recap to lead us into where we were tonight, picking up from last week. Jacqueline and Dolores, we revisit the Dolores telling Siggy about Jacqueline freaking out on her over the phone about making that phone call at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Jacqueline has a leg to stand on, or is she just looking crazy at this point?
I was trying to put myself in Jacqueline's position, and I guess you could say that she was like, you knew I wasn't going to be there, so why even make a phone call and say, just because Dolores' exact words were, just call to see if you could make it. You already know I can't make it, so don't make the phone call and ask me that question. You're being fake, and I don't like fakeness.
I actually feel like Jacqueline has a point that it shouldn't have gotten as far as it did.
Right.
But I feel like she has a point because there is so much fakey-fakey and like, okay, now we're going to film this scene. Okay, and now you're going to arrive in this next scene. And then now we're going to film you calling so-and-so. Make sure it's on speaker. So she's right in that there was no need to fake call her on camera when she already knew Jacqueline was sick and not coming.
Exactly.
I do think it was a little bit of paranoia in that she thought she was trying to look bad. Mm-hmm. No, they're just doing what happens in production, where you film all kinds of things to make sure you have the right footage, the right edits, the right cuts. And it was just extra footage for them.
Right.
This entire season anything was extra footage.
It wasn't anything malicious against Jacqueline, but I think she's so paranoid at this point. And I also think this was one of those, like, this could actually happen in real life, like one of those classic misunderstandings where if you don't really communicate, it could blow up into something else, which it kind of did. Like, we hear that Dolores, you know, later on was texting, like, F you and all this stuff. Because they never actually communicated.
Right. I found that strange that Dolores blew up, because we haven't even seen her get excited except for the Vermont trip. So that says something. That says that Jacqueline touched a nerve in her, that she was like, I've had enough. Yes. I've had enough of being nice to you, being the person in the middle.
Yes. And they were getting, you know, like, to the final scenes, and the producers were saying, this is the end, and Dolores was probably like, I have to pay for my kitchen, so let me get mad about something.
Good point. Right? Good point. True. I never know when these ladies are really upset or just...
Or just earning a buck.
Making me think they're upset, exactly. But shockingly enough, Dolores knows that Jacqueline called Kathy and Rosie to complain about this, too.
Yeah, that's weird.
I know.
What is she like?
I guess it's like, Dolores said she'll... Anybody that'll listen, she wants to talk to. So, Well, then Dolores says she better cut the shit, which I agree. I agree. Jacqueline, you are down to one friend.
Seriously.
Who's, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the real life situation between Siggy and the other girls. Siggy claims publicly, like, oh, Jacqueline brought me into this group. Right. Well, what does that mean? I mean...
Jacqueline had a producer.
Right. Is that the line for this season? Do they actually know each other before?
Jacqueline's alienated. Dolores, we know that they knew before. Right. We see, like, footage of her. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. How did Siggy come into this group?
I have.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, through the producer. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
So, next we're going on to Melissa is rehearsing for the fashion show. It was so weird for me to see Teresa being supportive of her.
I know.
Did you get like a weird...
It was such an odd dynamic.
Yes.
I mean, she did make it... Well, okay. So at this point, they're just practicing for it. Yes. And it was like very... I don't think she's ever been in that position before where she's supporting Melissa in anything.
It was always these...
She used to make fun of her singing.
Right. The fake comments and the real fakey voice, nasally fakey voice she would do with her.
Uh-huh.
And it was real half-ass all the time.
Yeah.
It was so strange to have her give her a compliment right off the bat. Like, this looks like Fashion Week.
But it was amazing. And it's like something we've never seen. Their dynamic has really, I think, naturally changed. Like, it's a natural coming together. I don't think it's fake at all. I think they genuinely feel like family now and genuinely seem to really want to be kind to each other.
Yeah.
Which is weird and nice
at the same time. We finally have some closure after all of these years of waiting for this relationship to not be so terrible.
Yeah.
It's kind of good for us. A little growth.
I mean, yeah. It's always good for us when they hate each other because it's more interesting, but it's been so many years that it's kind of like, it's satisfying to see a resolution.
Right. How about your take on Joe and Melissa's wedding throwback video?
Wait, I think I was writing notes at that point, but I know it was at Macaluso's, which is a very nice place to have weddings.
Mm-hmm.
I must have looked down.
Okay, so it lasted for only 2 seconds, really short, but I couldn't help but think she looked exactly like Antonia back then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different face, different hair, dark curly hair, and I was like, oh my God, Antonia looks exactly like her old face.
She's
a spitting image of her mom's old face. So. Congrats,
that makes
Melissa.
Sense.
But Melissa is so J-Lo to me now.
Yeah.
Like, last night on Watch What Happens Live, I kept thinking she looks so much like J-Lo to me.
Yeah, she looks phenomenal.
She
like,
does.
She
it
does have a
her.
Different face, but it looks gorgeous.
Right.
Like, it does work. Yeah, it works for her.
She just looks better and better.
Yeah.
It's not too much for me. We intercut with a scene of Chris telling Jacqueline, some of your friends are not really your friends, and really taking her side on the Dolores issue. Do you think Chris even knew what happened? Or they were just like, Chris, you need to go film a scene where you tell Jacqueline she's right because you're the only one telling her she's right.
Yeah, I think he was also earning his paycheck. By the way, thank you for the little kernel. We're supposed to... It's our job to talk about what we see. And they know the deal. Like, if your character is acting crazy, we have to acknowledge that your character is acting crazy, even though you're a real person. So we can be objective and talk about what we see and also enjoy popcorn that's sent to us
for free.
For free, for our enjoyment. Thank you. But yeah, I think he was earning his paycheck. I don't think... I think he's reasonable enough that if this were real life, he would have been like, I'm sure she meant nothing by it. Like, you know, it's, you've known Dolores for years. She's not trying to make you look bad. She wasn't trying to bust your balls and be like, I don't really believe you're sick. Why aren't you here? I think he would have had that reaction. That would have been like a normal husband reaction. Like,
totally. He's so good to her.
Yeah.
He takes her side in everything.
Yeah.
Which is really smart. I think a lot of men could take a page out of Chris's book.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's true.
It's kind of like you, if you're just supportive of your partner, things go a lot smoother at home. And if you offer constructive criticism in a really light, gentle way, if you think you can get away with it, maybe that's the way to do it.
Right. I mean, I feel like my husband always takes my side.
Mine too. My boyfriend always takes my side.
Because they're smart. But I think I think he would try to make me feel better. He would never. I don't think he would ever say your friends aren't on your side unless they really weren't on my side.
Right.
Because I don't think that's a situation here. I think Dolores loves her. I think she's her friend of all of them. She's actually her true truest of the four.
Yeah. I mean, I think what Chris could have said if he weren't taking her side immediately would be like, well, what transpired for Dolores to blow up like this? Because that's not her. It's not normally her. But Chris is a sweetheart, so he knew to tread lightly.
He's smart.
She's sick after all.
Yeah.
Flashing back, now we cut back to the fashion show and people start arriving. So Melissa was there early for support. I mean, excuse me, Teresa was there early for support from Melissa. And then we get Kathy and Richie showing up. We get Robin and her wife showing up. A couple of things stuck out to me. I thought Robin was dressed to the nines. She not only looked like she had beautiful makeup professionally done, she had her hair done up and like a prom do.
Her girlfriend looked great. Right.
Which makes me think maybe she was filming with them.
Totally.
And really did get cut out. I mean, the first thing she said and the only thing they used was, oh, is Jacqueline coming? You know, trying to get herself in the mix, trying to stir it up. So I thought that, did you think that maybe she was had filmed all season?
Totally. Yes, I was like, she thinks she's a housewife at this point because she came in looking fantastic and she said, oh, she had her lines all ready, all camera ready. Oh, Jacqueline's sick? Like, really sick? Or, like, not? She was, like, making a joke.
Right.
So she totally thought she was a housewife.
I mean, they did show her in the gym scene, which I think they were wanting that to be a run-in of all the women. Jacqueline is sick. You know, then there's the fashion show. Hopefully everyone can run into each other. Nope, Jacqueline's sick. So I'm wondering if they're not telling them all whether or not Jacqueline's coming before they're about to film so that everyone does show.
Right. Yeah, probably.
We shall see. What did you make of Richie and Teresa's pleasantries?
Awkward exchange. Oh, my God. I feel like, I used to love Richie, like, very early on. I thought he was hilarious. Now I cannot stand him. Every word that comes out of his mouth is so gross and annoying and not funny and stupid and weird. And I don't blame for Teresa for being like, get out of my face. But she was a little antagonistic with, she's like, you know, kind of needling him about the way he said hello. Like,
I thought that was her way of being like, how do I describe Teresa in this moment? It was her way of being like, just give me a kiss on the cheek, you jerk, and let's and I'm gonna scoot myself right out of here. Which she did. Which she did.
Which is smart.
She was just dodging and ducking and it was like she was playing dodgeball. She's like, oh, you, oh, bye. Oh, Kathy, bye.
And I don't blame her. I really don't blame her. The way they talked about her when she went to jail on camera, their mother especially.
Here's the thing. I don't blame her in this moment. Not that I agree with Teresa, but she had told them her feelings. Like, look, I want to be done with you, but if anything really bad happens, come knock on my door, your family. Well, this is just an acquaintance run-in. Like, this isn't like,
yeah,
things are falling apart, come knock on my door. Like, she just wants to be like, hi, and not talk. Right,
exactly.
So I don't blame her.
I don't blame her.
Because she let them know that was her deal.
Yeah.
I felt really weird about the scene that Teresa has to go tell Melissa that she misses Joe.
I know. I was like, why now?
And, well, it's obviously one of those setup scenes where they want her to say stuff that she hasn't said yet to another character. It was so awkward to me how she just said, hey, girl, what are you doing? I'm like, I can't with this, with them being nice to each other. It's so foreign to me.
Well, that scene was particularly fake because she's like, this is the first event without my husband. Joe would never have gone to the Envy fashion show. So correct. It's not like you're at a wedding or a christening or a funeral and he's not there. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have been there anyway. Mm-hmm. So it was like so set up and stupid and weird. But at other times when cameras aren't rolling, I think she probably does feel his absence. It's gotta be hard.
Oh, I'm sure. Wait, how she started talking in that interview scene. Yeah. And she, sorry, my eyelashes are itching so bad that I can't concentrate.
My babushka's a little tight.
I know. Our costumes are just falling apart. We're already to that uncomfortable part of the night where you've had a couple drinks and you just want to take your costume off and just have fun. I did feel for her. And when she was like, oh, I'm a changed person now and I'm ready for Joe to come home. It's like, well, honey, number one, Joe needs to be away and do his changing. And he needs longer than you for sure. And then he can come home. Right. But also, are we never going to own up to why Joe's away?
Right.
So, I mean, still hasn't happened.
Right.
So,
they didn't,
for
like,
either one of them.
No. That's so
either
true.
Either one of them. But back in the fashion show, we everyone starts talking about the new Jacqueline drama. So Dolores takes Kathy aside to explain her point of view. And I thought what stuck out to me was Kathy saying, you know how she is when she feels like she's being left out. And I feel like that does nothing but prove Teresa's and Melissa's point that she's just jealous and getting crazy when she's not the center of being around everyone.
Right.
And like Kathy wasn't there in Vermont when Jacqueline was like, everyone stop whispering.
Uh-huh. Yes, it's exactly. Like, that's so exactly right.
Being she's, nuts.
Uh-huh. And insecure when she's not, when she doesn't feel really in right. with someone, in particularly with Teresa. I think it really bothers Jacqueline that she is that Melissa and Teresa are fine. Mm-hmm. She's happy when they're not fine.
Yeah.
And she's also happy when Teresa is in, like, you know, miserable. So yeah.
Well, I think to me, I think she probably thinks, well, I came back to this show for Teresa. Like, we were great friends. I was an OG on this cast with her. We have the longest running relationship of anybody here, and I and her should be running this show. And I think she's devastated that Teresa took her down like that.
Perfectly said.
For 2 seconds, they were like touching their toe in the water of hanging out again, and then shut down.
Oh, perfectly said. Oh, you're so right, because Jacqueline was probably like, I'm getting in with Teresa, we're going to be friends, we're going to be the queen bees again.
Right.
Yes.
Kind of like Kyle and Lisa Vanderpump-y.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I think a lot of shows kind of seem to have one character that's a queen bee-ish that's maybe not a really good character. Like, they're more of a villain.
Like Vicky and Tamara. Yeah.
So I think, like, Lisa Vanderpump used to be the standout on Beverly Hills, but now, through everything they've all been through, she has to have an alliance.
Mm-hmm.
So Kyle and her have an alliance.
Yep.
And they're not mean girls.
Right.
So I kind of think Jacqueline thought she and Teresa were going to do that.
Totally. And then when Teresa walked into the restaurant in Vermont and started questioning her, she saw it all fall apart and went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it all makes sense.
And then Siggy also introduces everybody at this point, too. Let's all get together. Jacqueline's going through something. I don't want to abandon her. Let's just talk it out. Let's be classy. So I thought that was classy of Siggy. Mm-hmm.
Yes, very.
I think she's into thinking she's like a very North Jersey housewife.
Uh-huh.
She's like, look, I'm not this Italian mafioso, never going to leave my husband, like, getting a fist fight in the middle of the restaurant type girl. I'm from, like, a really wealthy suburb right outside of the New York City, and my husband's an important businessman, and, like, let's class it up a little.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that's what Siggy was really trying to bring, really push at the end of the season.
And you guys made such a good point that she would be so perfect on her own, like, Patty Stanger kind of show.
Yes, yeah.
She's not a housewife. She wants to stay above the fray, which you can't do.
Yeah. I've been avoiding talking about it because I was going to say, like, news and gossip, but it's really not news and gossip. In that Siggy was on Wendy Williams last week. Did you see it?
No.
Okay. So she basically made a point of being like, classy, classy. Why can't we be classy? Why does Beverly Hills get to be classy and we're considered so trashy in Jersey? Like, screw that. I'm a proud Jersey girl. Blah, 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 blah. So I think you really got to see it. I think she was kind of trying to promote the episode and her slant on how she was going to be on the show in the end that day.
Right.
Kind of, like, recognize that.
So she's like, I'm the Heather Dubrow.
And
so bring me back, Andy.
Yes, like clutching the pearls. We're not going to do that or say that. So Melissa's show went fine. She couldn't get the models back out on the runway in time. Did we learn nothing from Sonia during the Real Housewives of New York?
Honestly. Honestly.
You gotta have enough models that you get changed fast enough, because that walk is not too long. No. You get down and back real fast.
Yeah.
So the show went great, and I want to say Grant was 100% right last week in his prediction that Joe is proud of her. And he ends up apologizing to her. We'll talk about that later. Of course, Melissa had to bring up the father. And if Grant was here, he'd have to make a big point of it. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I immediately tweeted Melissa because I just, like, that's my thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, that was definitely your father. Energy doesn't die. That's my thing. Like, I can't hear that.
Right.
And, like, it affects me differently. But Grant is 100% right that that's her thing. She always brings it up. She does always bring it up. Yeah. But it's her thing. It affected her deeply. And
Well, you know, I want to say that's probably only the really tragic thing that's ever happened in her whole life. Yes. And it did happen at a really tender age. So that is, in her mind, I'm sure, such a go-to all the time.
Right.
When things are sad or things are good, you know, things are really good or really bad.
Right.
I think dad's always in the back of her mind.
Right. How can he not be?
Exactly. Yeah. And I totally, with your book and what your book is about, everybody get your copy of Better in the Morning by Fern Renee on Amazon.
Thank you.
Fern's book is all about, you know, when your grandparents are passed over on the other side, you're still communicating with them, even if you don't know about it. You're talking to them in your dreams. They're guiding you while you're here. They're sending you signs. So the fact that she felt like a tug on her pillow and she was awake and looking around, I was just like, oh my gosh. Yeah, he was
and
totally
that takes
there.
So much, it takes so much energy to be on the other side to make her feel that.
For her to feel a physical presence. Yeah.
And that takes so much energy. And he did it. You know, there are no coincidences that her show was happening at the same time that it was his 20-year anniversary of his passing. So it's there are no coincidences. And I'm a believer, obviously. Aww. So that's how I felt about it. But I get Grant's point, too. Yeah. And his favorite person was there. Not Patty Mayonnaise. She was in Bahamas, but our friend.
Oh, our friend. What is his name? Derek?
Derek.
Derek the manager.
He's so sweet.
Derek the manager, who's no longer with us at MV.
I know.
R.I.P.
Yes.
No, but they did clear that up on Watch What Happens Live last night. Because Teresa erroneously said.
Yeah, she said she
I think
fired
she
him.
Said it just to be rude. Okay. Said, like, oh, yeah, Melissa just fired him.
Yeah.
And then he had to go on social media and say, I was not fired. And Melissa said last night, no, we all decided he's going to move on to something else.
Right.
So whether or not she did fire him over that, Melissa's being classy and saying that he just wanted to leave and that it's fine.
Right.
So good for them.
Yes.
Okay, so Frank, Melissa's show is over. We're moving on. Frank and Dolores go to lunch together. What do you make of their relationship? I was so bowled over by this scene. Like, thing after thing that got said, I was like, you guys have the weirdest relationship.
Weirdest relationship. It's like she's on a date with her ex-husband.
Yeah.
Being like, okay, first of all, you said the kitchen wouldn't get done. She's acting like she built it with her bare hands. Like, it has nothing to do with you whether it gets done or not. It got done because the workers finished it. But I do appreciate that she was like, I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Who knows if she was serious, but it's just such a weird dynamic.
I mean, things that stuck out to me was he calls her mom. He goes, hi, mom.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
And he called her it twice. And I noticed through the, what do you call it at the bottom of the screen? The closed captioning that we use. I was going to call it Chiron, which is a word we use here in the business for, like, the text on a screen. If somebody has their name come up on the bottom of the screen, like the Housewives, that's called a lower third. Chiron's another name for it, so sorry, I was going to call the closed captioning Chiron.
I like it.
He calls her mom, and then when he was about to say something, and he kind of dropped off in his sentence, and she finished it, and she said, get remarried? And then they had a weird, nervous laugh over it, And then he's like, oh, please tell me you're only cutting me out financially, not the other way. And she's like, oh, no, no, no. It's like they're
codependent.
They really do have this weird romantic relationship that's not sexual anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know of any other couples that are that good of friends. I'm sure Siggy would claim she's that great of friends with her ex-husband, too. I think it's just when you're not used to it, it takes you aback.
It is very strange.
I'm like, okay.
Totally strange. Yeah. I wonder what it's going to be like when she finally meets someone nice that she likes and wants to be with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems like her breakup with her ex-fiance was not that long before she started filming this show.
Yeah.
So I would have loved to have seen their relationship when she was about to get married to someone else. Like, does it scale back?
Yeah, I wonder if it was the same.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know. Oh, and then she said, am I on your life insurance policy? Oh, okay, good.
Not like, normal.
She really was not trying to break it off financially with him. I feel like she really was only like, look, I'm paying for the kitchen in monthly installments. If I lapse on them, you owe me money. Like,
right. And that's what it said at the end, that she stopped paying for now.
So, and then when he revealed that her father had taken him aside.
Oh, yeah.
And gave a speech about when he had cheated on her and she kicked him out and wanted a divorce. This is all those years ago when little Frankie was not even born yet or a baby. And her father said to him, shit happens and family is forever. What did you think of that? I was surprised she didn't know that Frank and her dad had this conversation.
Oh, right. Right. Do you think she was faking that knowing?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe the father, maybe they never talked about it since then and the father never mentioned it either, but it's a little weird. But because it's a pretty significant conversation that they would embrace him, which takes a lot of strength to be like, let's put the kids first. No matter, you humiliated my daughter, but we're going to put the kids first. It's pretty admirable. I don't know if I could do it.
I mean, I think that's where their great relationship grew out of.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like, it was like, don't run away. We don't want to not see you. We want you to be there as much as you were before so that the kids have a great family atmosphere.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. Yeah, you're right. Because if the parents had been like, we hate him, she might not, she might have those bitter feelings too. Yeah.
I think it was a really important conversation. And the fact that she probably didn't know about it. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's weird.
I thought it was cool. Cool scene. Weird, but cool. Teresa's lawyer drops by to see how she's doing. She lets him know she's getting certified to teach yoga. So we see a little flash of her actually in a class getting doing, I'm sure, some of her hours towards the certification. She might sell the house, which I was excited to hear that because I'm so sick of following the financial drama in the press and thinking that they're getting away with murder here.
Exactly.
So that made me happy.
Yes.
I was like, you do need money. You do need to sell that mansion that you guys don't fill up an eighth of.
Exactly.
And take the money for your family.
Exactly.
And pay back all that restitution that you supposedly already paid.
I had so many thoughts in this scene.
Go ahead.
Because, so she said before Joe, she took care of everything financially and she was very responsible, and then she let him start taking care of stuff, which that's the problem. But I was just thinking, like, what a journey she's been on, because if you told me a year ago that she would have gone to prison, loved yoga, come out of prison and been like, I'm gonna sell my house and watch every penny, I would have been like, I just can't picture it. I just didn't think she had it in her. I thought she was too, like, I use the word base, like, before she was so, like, unevolved, like, just cared about material things, just cared about how she looked, how her house looked, how her, you know, she just was so unevolved. And I really, you could say that prison didn't change her. I think it did, because look at where she started. Like, she might not be Deepak Chopra, but she is more evolved than where she was, which is saying, you know, any evolution on your journey is admirable, and I really think she's gone up a level.
Got it.
I'm
and
shocked.
Those sweet daughters.
I didn't think it was going to happen.
Here's what
at
I
all.
Think is that she is, forget the friends, forget everybody else in the world. All she cares about is her family.
Yeah.
So she cares about keeping her family together, meaning her marriage, so that her daughters can grow up in a home where the two parents are together. Mm-hmm. I think there's plenty of stuff she lets slide with Joe, and she lies about it on camera to us.
Exactly.
And that it's just all about the daughters. But speaking of cute daughters. We're going to tell you guys about a cool company called Primary. It was started by two moms who wanted a place for kids' clothes without all those silly logos and glitter and word of the moment, something your kid's going to grow out of way too fast. But they're going to offer stylish basics for babies and kids in awesome colors and super soft fabrics, and they're all under $25. What? Inspired by simplicity, Primary offers one essential version of clothing of everything a kid wears, from a footie to a tee to a cardigan to a polo, and it's easy to size up as your kid grows. So they got vibrant colors so you can mix and match easily. They're going to work with whatever else you have in your closet. And it's a new go-to for super soft baby clothes in vibrant colors without all those slogans like Little Slugger or Mommy's Little Genius. We all could use a fresh onesie without a silly saying on it. But we've actually had some hosts here who have gotten the clothing for their kids. They love it. It makes their day so much easier in the morning as far as nothing's mixing, nothing's matching, nothing's fitting. It's all so much easier for them. So they love it. It's very soft and high quality, they've described it as. Easy to mix and match, they also said to us. And you guys want to visit primary.com/BuzzNJ and use the code BuzzNJ. So one more time, guys, if you guys want to write this down. It's going to be primary.com/BuzzNJ. And the code is the same there. It's BuzzNJ. You're going to get 25% off your first purchase and free shipping. One more time, guys. Your promo code is BuzzNJ at primary.com/BuzzNJ to save 25% off your first purchase at primary.com and get your kids some awesome, cool clothes.
Excellent.
Good for the holidays, too, coming up. Always need something spiffy for the kids to wear to the holiday parties.
Uh-huh. I sent the link to my sister-in-law for my niece and nephew, and it looks like
perfect.
Like what you were describing, like easy to mix and match.
Because I'm going to do the same thing because my niece and nephew, it's like so many zany colors and glitter. And then if they try to dress themselves, which I know is so hard for the moms, the battle always, every day. You're trying to get them to not wear like the Frozen costume every day.
Or like a purple shirt with a pink cupcake and brown pants. Like these colors are primary.
Exactly. So awesome.
Yes.
You guys go get some of that. Where did I leave off? So
I was saying that Teresa is not Deepak Chopra, but yes, that was my point.
But she's like evolved.
Yes.
As I said,
and I did not think it was possible. So I'm impressed.
I got to say, in some ways, I think she's never changed. In some ways, she's never been better.
Yeah.
Dolores and Siggy have dinner with their moms. And I thought it was funny. Siggy told the story of stealing stuff at the mall in Jersey because she wanted to not move to Israel with her family. But she got what she wanted in the end because we do know from before that she left Israel after a year and lived here without her family by herself because she loves America
Pretty brave.
So much. Yeah, good for her. Joe makes dinner for Melissa and apologizes for being such a Neanderthal about saying that she only makes crumbs.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was funny that she said, did you get this delivered? Because I was like, there's no way he cooked that nice meal
for
her.
It looks good, though.
I was like, if he was going to cook, wouldn't it be like Italian? He made chicken cordon bleu. I know.
It looks good, though.
I think he got it delivered. So let's move on to the finale scene, the luncheon hosted by Siggy to work through their issues. Mm-hmm. So number one, she hired security. Number two, she removed all the steak knives off the table.
Yes.
This was a little extreme to me.
A bit.
Okay, here's my thought on the security. I want to see what you think. I thought she hired it because she doesn't want Teresa to get physically touched because then she can get in trouble. Like, she's on parole probation.
Yes, yeah.
So it's like she can't get into involved any legal in any trouble. Physical. Right.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's why she did it?
I think so. It might have been production. But the woman might have just been, like, the event manager. Okay. Do you think she was, like, a security?
I'm not sure. I saw the big guy, too, after a while.
Yeah, yeah.
I just was like, okay, is this a producer setup and they're forcing Siggy to say that? Or did Siggy actually be like, no? I feel like it's a little ridiculous. Like, Siggy wouldn't have done that herself.
Right. But it is a good point because it could have gotten crazy.
Right.
And she would have felt horrible.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it might have been a joint effort to keep Teresa out of jail again.
I mean, I wonder if this would have went better if it was in her home. you know? Like,
yeah.
There wouldn't, it wouldn't have been like, oh, we're out in public and getting crazy. It's like, it would have been a cozy home environment.
They should have done it in her home. I think they would have gotten more out of Jacqueline. I don't think she would have
been so walls up.
It would have been like, yeah.
It would have been like, we're going to step into the living, the living room right here next to the dining room. If you need us, call us.
Exactly.
But you girls just take a couple minutes.
Exactly. Instead of go to another part of the restaurant.
Right. Yeah. It got weird. So let's just jump right into it. So Jacqueline, I thought, was beyond awful in her approach.
Oh, my God. I said, like, delivery and tone, it sounds silly, but they do make a difference.
Right.
Delivery is everything. Right. And then Siggy said that exactly. She was like, you sit here. Melissa, I would like you to please leave the room. Like, you don't talk to people like that.
No.
If you want to talk to them.
And I don't understand this whole, like, the whole thing to me. Like, I am calling the shots today. Like, sipping her tea. No, honey.
Right. You're not in a control position here. Who? Everyone has fought with you here, so you're the problem. So you should come in a little more humble.
Right. That's the issue. It's like, you're not queen of the day because you're the one here with all the issues with everyone and you're calling shots. Like, you're not calling the shots.
Exactly.
You should be talking everything out and probably apologizing.
Exactly.
Like, if you're the only one having problems with everyone, right. do you not look at the ratio there and decide who the problem.
The numbers are not in your favor.
It got really ugly really quick. She used, I think what tripped Jacqueline off was Teresa used the word stupid. And I think with Jacqueline's son, her issues with her son, I think that that's what it was in her mind. Oh. She doesn't like that word.
Okay.
And then immediately, Jacqueline resorted to when Teresa had said at a reunion, I believe.
It was at the Posh Fashion Show when it was Team Teresa Jacqueline versus Danielle.
So
she called her honey.
Teresa's old line is bitch better. Jacqueline used that. And it got really, really ugly from there.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised Jacqueline went running for the hills.
Right. And Teresa was totally right. She'll show up for 5 minutes and then run.
I'm not sure what Jacqueline wanted out of this. I mean, the fact that she had a, quote, ride waiting meant she wanted to come in, spew all her venom, and run out of there.
Right. And what would the resolution have been? Like, what? Right. Like, I don't know. I don't know what they were hoping to accomplish. I think that ship has sailed so far away. It's never going to be mended. And it's just so ironic how things change over time. After season one, I was like, this group is so tight. They're so Jersey. They didn't like Danielle from the beginning because she's an outsider. And that's just their mentality. That's how they are. And I would never have believed that they would end up against each other, that Danielle would be able to come back into the fray, which I think she obviously is next year, and be on Teresa's side. It's amazing what can happen. Like, anything can change in a matter of, in a year, and now it's been how many years? And it's so amazing to see. Is bitch better? Like, you two were on the same team when she said that.
It's insane. It's so crazy. Any final thoughts?
I don't know. It was a bit of a weird season, but I hope next season they just bring back Danielle. I want Danielle back.
Yeah.
If she weren't in season one, the foursome would have never fought with each other. They needed an enemy. She brought it, and she should be given credit and come back.
Yeah. I feel like we're being set up to have her come back in that, I could be wrong, but I feel like Teresa is trying to get her back on the show for whatever reason. I'm sure it's to be like anti-Jacqueline or something. And
we got a few more minutes.
And I guess it's to be anti-Jacqueline. I mean, this is dangerous to me, and this is not a nice thing. But for us, the viewers, it's going to be really exciting if that's what's going to be going down. Because we've been calling for Danielle to come back.
Yes.
Danielle's been campaigning for how many weeks now? Insanely, every single day. So I hope it's not a trick on us.
I hope not either.
I hope that little picture at the end was a hint for what's to come.
And I just hope next season they have new fights. Like, I do hope Danielle comes back. If Jacqueline does or doesn't come back, I hope they have new fights with new people, new conflicts with new people. To keep it fresh and interesting, because this year they the 2011 flashbacks were there were just too many.
Yeah.
It was all the old fights.
We're living in the past.
Yeah.
Big time.
Let's move forward.
Big time. Well, as far as predictions, we didn't get a scene at the end to see for next week for the reunion. We do know it's only going to be two parts, which Andy said last night on Watch What Happens Live, which I was like, well, thank God for that, because I don't think there's nothing to fill three of those. Predictions on what you have seen?
I saw, like, it's not a good sign when the previews that they show you on Bravo are cute scenes, but it's like Dolores talking about how she has to, like, you know, bat girls away from Frankie. That was one of the previews. And then the other preview was Siggy talking about what she, you know, being what she stole, that whole thing. And then there was one another preview of the fights with Jacqueline, but it was like, there's probably not that much. So I really don't know. I know Teresa call, so I know I just went on this whole thing about how Teresa's become so much more evolved, but she does call Jacqueline a clown face. So she is not, definitely not Deepak Judice, but yeah. She calls her.
I mean, she really dislikes Jacqueline. I wrote down everything she called her tonight really quickly. It was disgusting person, evil person, psycho, toxic, evil, miserable, Osama bin Laden, cuckoo bird, conniving, twisted fucking bitch, a disgrace. So that's where we're leaving it off with how much Teresa really hates Jacqueline.
Oh, and she thinks she set her up those years ago. Not to talk about on the deck.
Well, this is the big preview that we have been floating around social media from Bravo, is that she literally is going to claim that Jacqueline set her up and that's why she went to jail. So we'll see what Andy, follow-up questions Andy gets out of, answers Andy gets out of Teresa as far as this claim, because this is like cuckoo ca-choo to me. Well, guys, hopefully next week is very exciting with Reunion Part 1. We'll be back. Fern, darling, where can they find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Fern Rone, or on my website, fernrone.com. And my novel, Better in the Morning, which is Sex and the City Meets Ghost, is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and paperback, Kindle, whatever you wish. And good night from Siggy Flicker.
Relationship expert, Siggy Flicker. Guys, good night from Jacqueline Larita over here. You guys can find me on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. It's all at Megan Stecker. Go there tonight to see pictures of me and Fern's costumes. It's Megan Stecker, M-E-G-A-N-S-T-E-C-H-E-R. And good night from New Jersey.
Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.